Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:33 PM. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is July 4th. So happy Independence Day to anyone in the US who is listening. And today, obviously, the US market is closed, but that doesn't mean that everywhere else wasn't open. And there was some fireworks in Hong Kong today because there is an official warning coming out of China about people being addicted to online gaming, and that took a chunk out of Tencent, and this is its largest pullback than we've seen in at least a year. And when we look at that on the weekly chart, then it bears a striking resemblance to quite a significant number of other companies, and not least on the NASDAQ, where the risk of mean reversion has increased. And generally speaking, it was a pretty soft day on stock markets, but not in a dynamic manner. It was reasonably quiet, but certainly on the softer side of things. So, for example, the 8 shares were down in here today, and this is still a range above 10,000. And that big psychological level is really the level that I think a lot of people will be looking at. There is obviously there is a breaking news out of North Korea, and that at least contributes to some of the reason why Asian markets were in mildly negative territory. It is looking increasingly likely that North Korea is developing longer range missiles. Quite whether you could describe what they launched today as an intercontinental ballistic missile is open to debate, but the trend of technological know-how is certainly there. And that represents the potential for an escalation in geopolitical tensions, and not least with Xi and Trump meeting at the G20 summit on Friday. We can anticipate that there is going to be some discussion about what exactly to do with North Korea, because it represents a geopolitical risk for the USA to have another country that has got the potential to land a nuclear weapon anywhere on its territory. And this is something, considering that North Korea is volatile and mischief-making at the very best of times, that this is obviously something that is going to have to get dealt with in one way, shape, or form. And that is part of the reason that defense shares have been so consistent on the upside. So, for example, Northrop Grumman just continues to trend higher, and this is a remarkably consistent trend with one step above another, and support being found in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. That is, it makes it rather easy to analyze the chart, because as long as it is going up and consolidating and going up and consolidating, then the rhythm is clear, and any change to the rhythm would give us a very clear signal about a change to the supply-demand dynamics that are really helping to drive this advance. Europe was in mildly negative territory today, and this continues to look like a broad-based pullback towards the trend mean that they did. Stock markets have done generally quite well since January, and most particularly since the middle of last year, but they were a little bit overbought a couple of weeks ago, and now we're getting some pause and consolidation as they come back towards the region of their trend means. But for example, when we look at something like the FTSE, it wasn't particularly overextended to begin with, and it has already unwound the majority of its advance. Whereas, for example, the DAX index, which is considerably more overextended, was mildly in negative territory in here today, but it has a bit more of an overextension to unwind, but it has already done about half of that. And that was a large downward dynamic that we saw last week, and it's likely to hold up the advance for at least the short term, potentially a few months, before it can regroup and push on to new high ground. So when we look at these stock markets, the most likely scenario is that we are in a process of mean reversion. That's despite the fact that central banks are becoming progressively more hawkish. And when, for example, we look at the 10-year treasury, I'm not sure, that is going to work. That when we look at that that yield, then there's a clear upward dynamic last week. Obviously, it's closed today, but there was upside follow through yesterday. When we look at it on the daily chart, we can see that it has still got that progression of lower rally highs, but it is closing in now on that 2.4% level, and a sustained move above it. Well, that, excuse me, I should push that over there. It's a sustained move above 2.4% really would begin to break that progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of March and begin to confirm that we're back in a supply-dominated environment. It is also worth keeping an eye on the total return index because it had done rather well, but this has been a pretty stiff pullback that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 trading sessions. And it is now trading below the trend mean. And again, this is a rather key area. If it can bounce from this level, then I don't think that anyone is going to be particularly worried about the bond market. On the other hand, if we fail at this level and it starts to push back down again, and most particularly if it were to take out those lows that we saw earlier this year, then we would have increasing evidence that we have seen we're in the middle of a completing top formation for what has been a 36-year bull market. And that is, and when you start to think about it, 36 years, that's as long as most people spend working. That the number of people who can remember a significant bear market in bonds, well, they're very long in the tooth at this stage. Then, when we look at, there is the potential for heightened geopolitical tension. And there isn't a great deal of evidence right now that gold is benefiting from that. It has paused now in the region of those May lows. This is the do or die moment. It is either going to bounce from this level, and then that would open up the potential that it gets back up towards $1,300, or it fails. And if it fails, then the last straw that, or the last thing that it has to really confirm that we're in a demand-dominated environment will be in question, and then the likelihood of much more volatility, I think, would become, I think, probably the base case scenario. And oil prices have continued to rally, and they have broken the short-term progression of lower rally highs. There is a great deal of additional supply becomes economic above $55. But this is a phenomenally choppy environment. Oil is produced in a significant number of countries, but it's consumed everywhere. And the fact that we are in this very choppy environment suggests that neither supply nor demand is dominant beyond any really the short term. And this is obviously one of the most geopolitically influenced of all commodities. So there is a short covering rally underway, but there is a clear progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of this year. And until that is broken, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to volatile ranging. And the first clear downward dynamic would confirm that supply is returning to dominance. There is certainly there's been a lot of hedging going on since the beginning of this year, but as we get back up towards $50, then the profitability of a significant quantity of additional supply comes back into the green, and that's likely to represent an additional bout of drilling. So I wouldn't be too enthused about what has been a relatively short-term rally, although there is the potential for it to go up another $4 or $5. When we look at the London Metals Index, it has bounced clearly from the region of the trend mean. This looks very different to what we've seen with oil prices. And I think that that is where we have the clearest leverage to global growth. The mining sector has gone through a very painful process of rationalization. And when we look at the London Metals Index or for example, the Australian Resources Index, we get very similar patterns, not least because while all of these shares are listed in various different countries, the reality is that all of their earnings are in dollars. and that is contributing to the relative commonality that we're seeing right across these mining indices, and they are bouncing from the region of their respective trend means. So that is really quite favorable that they're doing that because they're leveraged to global growth. And despite the fact that we have an escalation in geopolitical tensions, the reality is that this week we've had purchasing manager indices coming out in China, Japan, the EU, and the USA that have all been positive. So we are back in a position of synchronized global economic expansion. That's particularly beneficial for the types of companies that are leveraged to global growth, and mining is very squarely in that category, and also so is shipping. And shipping has also been through a very painful rationalization, and there are some big changes coming up in that industry over the next year, not least to do with how they deal with ballast waters and also the fuels that they're allowed to use as an increasing number of countries clamp down on fuel oil pollution. But I think that shipping it still has the problem with a lot of supply, and that is as acting as or I think that because every one of these companies is affected by those issues in different ways, then we don't have the same kind of commonality that we do, for example, in the industrial metal sector. And the biotech sector could be in a position to take up leadership from some of the really high momentum shares that do look increasingly likely that they are going to pull back and consolidate. So that is, I think, where we are in broad terms in the markets. That the most likely scenario is that we are in a process of mean reversion, but that there is significant evidence of a rotation, and that also it is the banking sector that is demonstrating a return to relative performance. It isn't just U.S. banks, but the U.K. banks have bounced from the region of their trend mean. And then if we also look at even the European banking sector, then it was also in mildly positive territory in here today. And even then also look at the Japanese banks, and they were in positive territory and are bouncing from the region of their trend mean. So when we start stringing that together, it is the types of companies that benefit from somewhat higher interest rates, but most particularly because those because the reason for behind those higher interest rates is because of economic growth. Those types of companies are doing rather well in this environment. That's where the rotation is going into, and we're seeing evidence of some of the really high momentum shares losing some of that interest. And I think that that is perhaps the most important point that is going on right now. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. Wish all the best to all of you.